Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host for today, Mickey Desai. Our co-host, Caroline Eccles, will not be joining us today. I have the good fortune of being in the offices of the Atlanta Women's Foundation, hanging out with some friends, old friends and new friends. Around the table, we've got
Allie Cobb,
Makana Love Tinker,
Kate Balzer.
We got a nice diversity of topics to jump into today. Let's start with Kate. Kate, what's your role with the foundation?
Sure. I'm the director of communications. So I handle everything that falls under communications, from digital to website, to email marketing, social media, and then traditional relationships with media and press.
Sounds like a lot.
It is. I joke, I'm a one-woman department.
I guess what I struggle with is communications. Especially, a lot of nonprofits don't successfully have the media and press game down. How do you do that if you're a small to medium-sized burgeoning nonprofit?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a challenge. So it's a dual challenge, not only if you're small and you don't have a lot of staff resources, but what I have come to see is that the media landscape, you know, particularly in a market like Atlanta, which is, you know, a smaller city market, it's really changing because of technology and the shrinking papers. So you either have to be a really huge story to make the big guys, you know, the local news, to make the AJC, or you have to be incredibly hyper-local. So you have to fit the Northside Neighbors. So you only, your story fits within that geographical region, or, you know, the Marietta Daily Journal. And so we are in a place where we kind of don't fit either. Occasionally we'll have stuff that fits the hyper-local, but, you know, it's not always a natural fit because of what we do, you know, being a grant maker and being spread out across five counties. So really what I found is, with the changing landscape and then what works best for us, it's pretty much become like fundraising. It's relationship building. The reporters are too busy and too understaffed, overworked, just like a nonprofit, for you to be able to send out like a random press release. I mean, you can still do that, but you're probably not going to get much traction. So I have found the more you can do relationship building, the better you're going to have a chance of getting stories, for sure. And in fact, actually, I went to a great event where the Asian American, it's an Asian American Reporters Association in Atlanta here, the Atlanta chapter of it, hosted a great event where they brought in local reporters. And basically, it was kind of like, ask questions, get to know them. And that pretty much was the sentiment that came out. And this was covering radio, TV, and newspaper reporters across the spectrum from the Atlanta area. And it really comes down to relationship building. Don't just send me a press release, like, get to know me, find out what I'm writing about as well. Do your research so that if they're covering, you know, government and you send them about a fundraiser, they're not going to care.
Sure.
So you really need to tie it into what they're writing on, the audience they're writing for as well.
All right. So let me ask the stupid question of the day is, how do I do that and avoid appearing like a stalker of some journalistic, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, one of the great things is there are some press associations, one of the best being the Atlanta Press Club. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most active across the U.S. So those are always great to go to those networking events, to any of the program events they host and network there. You get a wide spectrum of people that show up. So that's great. And then smaller events, like I said, the one that I went to where I met these five or six reporters, I immediately followed up either by social media or email if I was able to get their email address, and just was like, hey, it was great meeting you. You know, if you ever have offer to them, be like, this is what we are experts on. Like, if you have questions about this or if a story that comes up, you know, shoot me an email. I'm happy to answer a question, or if I can, I'll direct you to the right person. Yep. I do that a lot. Being about the Women's Foundation, and, you know, people assume that we basically cover any topic that relates to women, which we don't. We do have our focus. But if they reach out to me about something that we can't speak to, but I might know somebody who can, I will direct them to that. And they're always grateful, and that starts to build that kind of relationship as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's like dating. You know, you don't want to cold call somebody, but you apply the same principles. And I think honestly, with reporters, and, you know, watch them on social media, idea, but that's actually an okay way in media. Okay. You know, if they're open to direct messaging or just commenting on their, you know, if you're following them on Twitter, comment on their tweets, you start to build a rapport that way as well. And that is actually in one case where social media might work for you, whereas it might not, another case, it might feel a little more stalkerish. I think it does work in the media landscape because that's where everyone's living nowadays.
You've done this. You've done the whole social media approach thing very slowly.
I haven't personally mm-hmm. with someone that I don't know. I've done it with someone I have met in person, mm-hmm. but I've seen people do it in other aspects and seen it work. In fact, one of the reporters that I heard at that event I went to, hosted by the Asian American Press Association, was Sean Powers, and he is with GPB. Mm-hmm. And actually now he does a podcast for The Bitter Southerner. He's the producer on that. They've partnered with GPB. And so he was really great about being open. I think he's very active on social media. So to me, he'd be one of those people who you could, you know, slowly approach on social media and make that connection. Cool. Just because I've, you know, watched what he does and what he says. And, you know, he'll reach out and say, hey, we're doing a story about this for the podcast. Does anybody have anything? Could you speak to that? So mm-hmm. it might be one of those things that's, again, another reason worthwhile to follow reporters on social media, is they'll often reach out and say, hey, we're looking for someone who can speak to this.
Yeah. I'm taking notes mentally here for my own endeavors, because I'm like, I need to position myself as an expert in some of these things. But very cool. So is it a hard job?
It can be. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes what it is because I'm managing so much. In some ways, I like it because I like things that keeps it interesting, and I like that. You know, I'm not necessarily the person who wants to delve deep into one thing. I like doing mm-hmm. multiple things. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like there's not enough opportunity to really like strategize and sit down and say, we're going to focus on this, or we're going to focus on this, and kind of delve into the deeper layers mm-hmm. of each piece of the communications strategy.
How much does your daily agenda interface with the other departments in the foundation?
Daily. Yeah. Because of the way we work, I'm very much in a supportive position, mm-hmm. you know, basically helping to get out information about either our programs or our fundraising and events. Though I would say on a daily basis, I'm interacting usually either with somebody in development or somebody in mission primarily.
Let's take a look at the 5-mile picture then. When things go really well, what does that look like? And when things fail miserably, do you have any idea what that looks like?
When things go really well.
And that may not be a fair question. Yeah. And we can always edit this out if we need to.
Yeah. So. No, that's a good question. I think when things go really well is when, I would say, when all aspects are kind of firing on all cylinders and, you know, everything's working at the best it can be, you know, that we're getting some press coverage and we're seeing our social media be really active. You know, we're seeing more people signing up for our newsletter. Yeah, I would say that's probably like really showing when things are going well. Fortunately, we have not had any disasters. So I can't really speak to any major disaster.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Yeah, exactly. As Allie said. Yeah, I think, like I said, the biggest kind of really challenge would just be trying to balance all the balls and feel like each one is getting its proper attention. And it's one of those things, like, I'm definitely personally like the person who is guilty of always feeling like, if you know that I'm never knowing enough, never doing enough. And so I'm sometimes a bad judge of that. So I sometimes probably need somebody to come from the outside and go, like, this is going really well. And I'm like, oh, it is? Okay, thank you. Which actually has happened a lot in the last year or two, because we redid our website. So we've got a lot of good feedback on that, which is great because I really liked it. But I'm like, you know, our people are responding. Sure. And so I got that feedback without asking for it. It just, people were like, oh my God, I love what the website's doing, what you've done to it. So, so it's nice to hear that positive feedback from the outside.
I'm also sort of grateful that I don't know what a communications failure looks like.
Right? Yeah.
This is Allie. I just wanted to add to what Kate was feeling about it, you know, never knowing enough, never doing enough. I think with limited time, resources, staff. I, you know, I've been in the nonprofit world my whole career for 13 years now, and that's always been the case. And I think the more that you're doing it and you get that good feedback and you see the successes, it becomes easier to live with, even though it's a lot of type A's or people that want to do the best that they can, everything that they can to make a real difference in their work. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a struggle when you want to do so much more. But I've learned, you know, just kind of one foot in front of the other and keep at it. And there are times when, again, everything will be clicking and other times where it's a struggle. Yeah, just wanted to add that I think that's very normal. So if others, listeners are feeling that way, that's a very normal part of being a nonprofit employee.
Yeah. Slowly but surely.
Yes. So slowly but surely.
In terms of communications and bringing that back to the office, what kind of metrics do you look at? And how do you decipher those numbers into meaningful action items for the gang?
Yeah. So that's probably an area that we have the most opportunity for growth that have not done as much with. Although, I mean, I'm definitely understand and appreciate firm believer in metrics. You know, sometimes the challenge can be for nonprofits is the resources and tools that a lot of bigger companies are using, we don't always have access to. So sometimes it's hard to get that data. And then the other side of it for us is, you know, a lot of what we do in communications, like I said, is really supporting the fundraising and events as far as tracking, like, what are our results? Because for us, the end result is how much donations are we getting in that we can then give out in grants and technical support for our grant recipients, being a funder, not being a direct service organization. And so with the way we work at this point in time, in spite of other people having success doing, you know, fundraising through social media or, you know, focusing on their online giving, for us, it's still very much person to person. So what I'm doing is really, again, supporting. It's a lot more brand awareness. So I think, you know, again, that's a little hard to track, particularly, again, like I said, for us having a minimum of tools and resources to do that. You know, you can use the internal stuff that social media has, which I do. And certainly I can do that with our email marketing. And that is something I very heavily track, mostly to make sure that, again, in both areas, I'm basically making sure, are we going in an upward direction? Mm-hmm. We're not losing people. We're not having less interaction. Yeah. And as long as it's going in the right direction for right now, that yeah. is what works for us. And, you know, for us as well, when I first started here, I actually started as an executive assistant to the CEO. So I've, you know, worked my way up through a bit of luck and, you know, other staff people moving on, because being such a small organization, it was not necessarily expected when I first started here. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, what we had when I came in, someone handling communications, they were leaving the organization. So they were wrapping up. And so really there was no specific communications person. It kind of fell under development, and it was sort of, you know, an afterthought, just really kind of a part of fundraising. And then we got a new CEO who came in, and she had a marketing background. And so she really put the emphasis back on that. And I got moved into that role because of my experience and my capabilities. And so moved up in communications. And so really, particularly because before we had been very traditional print communications, mm-hmm. I really helped to build the digital side. And so, you know, that's probably been one of my biggest contributions, I'd say, to the organization. Has been exciting to see. So really, like, any growth that we've had in there has been, you know, significant for us, because there really wasn't much. In fact, there was a lot of disbelief from low buy-in from staff and board more, because they were it just wasn't a part of their world. Sure. It wasn't that they thought it was, didn't believe in it. It just wasn't something they connected with. But as we've moved on and we have, you know, some younger board members coming in, or board members who've been in a career position that connected more with communications or social media, they understand the value of it. Like, we have one of our board members, he has his own Twitter account that he uses for work. It's not work's Twitter account. It's his own. And, mm-hmm. you know, because he understands that's important in his role, and which isn't a communications role.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's a managing partner of a law firm, but he understands that brand and having somebody out there speaking about what they're doing, you know, is
so
as
he has
important.
His own Twitter channel to be an
Correct.
Ambassador for his thing.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So, you know, he's great about, like, he's one of our biggest, you know, brand ambassadors mm-hmm. on social media or on Twitter. I don't even have to ask him. Like, he follows us. He sees the stuff. You know, he tweets about it. So he's fantastic mm-hmm. that way. So, you know, we have a new level of buy-in that we didn't have before.
Sure. Last question, because we're almost out of time for this episode. Do you work off of a communications plan, or is part of your is part of the organizational strategic plan specifically related to communications?
Yeah. So we really kind of don't. I mean, it's kind of, I think, a piece of the fundraising plan, what we do, but we have not yet really had the time and the resources to develop that communications plan. Mm-hmm. That's sort of next on the wish list.
And you know, other organizations, you know, it all depends on the culture of the organization, right? So you may need a documented plan and you may not.
Right.
So, but no, I was just wondering if you guys had like guidelines or anything like that, that governed.
Yeah. I mean, I've put some stuff together. I wouldn't say there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And I certainly do like a communications calendar and we kind of outlay like what are the needs for the year. But I think when people think in traditional communication strategy terms, that's where we haven't had anything in a while that, you know, that's on the wish list. But again, what we do, it's not necessarily inhibiting our work either by not having that, because like I said, it's what I'm doing is so much supporting of mission and fundraising, and they do have their strategy and plan. So it's a lot of building into what they've got already.
Cool. Well, I know we could talk about communications a whole lot more. We're going to end this episode right here and then pick up with Makana for the next one and talk about the exciting world of
database and operations.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again to our listeners for joining us. This has been the Nonprofit Snapcast, and we'll see you in about a week. Thanks very much.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.